The following is a class given by His Holiness Rompa Swami on increasing the quantity and quality of chanting, recorded on 5th July 2008 in Oswego, United States.
How many of the devotees, besides myself, all morning long have been hearing that melody running through your head yesterday that Badahari was singing? It just wasn't prompted, it just, it's running. It's in the background running. The holy name. So that's what we've come together for, is have a festival of the holy name. There's a nice spot over here. Couple nice spots over here. Rajiv, could you slide back and you know, so we just, when people come in, they look around, they see some space. If this can disappear somehow and looks like there's empty space, good. Very good. See, it's not just Gita campus. So, conceptually, why this event, you know, the thought behind this event that started last year, and this is our second year, and I can only envision it becoming an annual event. Very nice way to celebrate this holiday weekend. Is two main things. Devotees coming together with the holy name in the center and increasing the absorption in the holy name. Just like Badahari's conception last night with the Nama Yagya was to come together, close together, and absorb ourselves in the holy name. And so experiencing that, particularly in japa, as well as kirtan, so that the inspiration came from a japa retreat, but it's, you know, not everybody can get together for 5 days, and not everybody can chant 64 rounds a day, which is part of the japa retreats, and then level two is in 5 days, 2 times 64 rounds, or 2 days of 64 rounds, and so of just absorbing, and there's some benefit that comes from this kind of sangha and focused on chanting together, improving the quality of chanting. And the second, so that was the focus. And the second was to appreciate the various ways of glorifying the holy name. Our formal ways, primary ways, are japa and kirtan, just like Nama Yagya last night, and different kirtans through the day. But there are, we have some very talented devotees and in various languages and various art styles and various modes of expression, to present the holy name in very attractive ways. So we'll have some of that this afternoon. And it's a nice meditation for those who are preparing themselves to do that, to absorb themselves in the holy name. So year by year as we do this, it's come together and become more deeply absorbed in the holy name, because this is our Yuga Dharma. The chanting of the holy names, it's our means of achieving the real purpose of our human life. It's a nice thought through the holy name to achieve. So we're focusing like that. And increasing, I mentioned it yesterday and explored a little bit more today, increasing quantity can also help us increase quality. Our acharya is described like that. Quality, quantity doesn't necessarily mean quality, or quality isn't found necessarily in quantity of things of this world, and certainly not in the holy name. But there's a focus of mind, a focus of will, a focus of purpose, to make some commitment to increase quantity. Just like when we all began chanting, maybe there, even here there are some beginning chanters, but at the beginning there's a commitment to chant, and then to gradually increase chanting. And so tomorrow we're going to be increasing, at least those that can, and from our experience last year, age doesn't make a difference. Young people and old people and middle people and new people and long time people and any people. Anybody can. You're up for 32 rounds tomorrow? You psyched up? Okay. And it will help that preparation, that excitement, because quality spiritual practice, quality hearing, is eagerness to hear and eagerness to chant. And that is very inspiring to be more attentive. So, one time, just to explore a little bit what quality chanting is. There's a nice discussion on this quality chanting when Prabhupada was asked the question, Prabhupada, what does quality chanting mean? How do we know when we're quality chanting? It's like asking a hungry person, are you feeling satisfied from your eating? And it's something that subjectively one knows. This is a little announcement. Somebody's car is blocking one of those. How did I know? You do it. Go ahead.
There are three cars in the property. One is a Toyota Camry number 9BX76K.
What state?
Missouri. And the other is Honda Accord 1398543. And a big van, which is Illinois State 161-8596. If they belong to us, they need to go to the Jewel Osco parking lot. Yeah. If you can contact somebody up, or we can, if you like.
You can take it. One of those is yours? A big van.
They told me to park this.
Go over there and get the key from them.
No, I have to.
Sorry, Kritu. So here's the dialogue. It's in Nairobi. It's right from the database. Those of you that have that. So one devotee is asking, when chanting our 16 rounds, we are not sure if these rounds are sincere. Prabhupada, you should be sure. Devotee, how can we be sure? Prabhupada, there are beads. Brahmananda. No, he's saying, when we chant our rounds, how can we be sure that when we chant the round, that the round is perfect, attentive, sincere? Prabhupada. Therefore, there is Shastra. You must. There is no question of understanding. Prabhupada. Brahmananda, he tried again, brave soul. The quality of the chanting, he's asking. How can we make the quality the best? What's quality chanting? Now we get focused on the question. Quality. You'll understand, first of all, come to the quality. Without having quality, how will you understand the quality? You follow the instruction of your spiritual master, of the Shastra. That is your duty, quality. No quality. It is not your position to understand. When the quality comes, there is no force. You'll have a taste for chanting. You will desire at that time. Why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? 16,000 rounds. That is quality. That is quality. It is not by force. You'll not do it there for at least 16 rounds. When you come to the quality, you will feel yourself. Why 16? Why not 16,000? That is quality. Automatically. Just like Haridas Thakur was doing. He was not forced to do. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he requested. Now you're old enough. You can reduce. So he refused. No. Up to the end of my life I shall go on. That is quality. Have you got such tendency that you'll go on chanting and nothing to do? That is quality. Now you are forced to do. Where's the question of quality? That is given a chance so that one day you may come to the quality. Not that you have come to the quality. Quality is different. Atha Shakti. Shakti, or attachment, just like Rupa Goswami said, now I shall chant with one tongue. And how will I hear? Two ears. Had it been millions of tongues and trillions of ears, then I could enjoy it. This is quality. Quality is not so cheap. Maybe after many births. For the time being, you go on following the rules and regulations. It is being done by force. Where is the quality? So you wanted to understand quality? This is the quality. You'll not be forced, but automatically you'll desire. That is quality. I'm writing books. I'm not being forced by anyone. Everyone can do that. Why one does not do it? Why I get up at night, 1 o'clock, and do this job? Because I cannot do without it. How one will do it artificially? That is quality. Therefore, like my purports, the quality is shown by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahirame. I do not see Govinda. The whole world is vacant. Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahirame. This is quality. Just like we've got practical example. One man's beloved has died, and he is seeing the whole universe as vacant. Is it vacant? So that is quality of love. There's no formula of quality. It is to be understood by himself. Just like after eating something, you feel refreshed and get strength. That is quality. You haven't got to take certificate. Will you give me certificate that I have eaten? You'll not understand. You'll understand whether eaten or not eaten. That is quality. When you will feel so much ecstasy in chanting Hare Krishna, that is quality. Not artificial. Chant, chant. Otherwise, get out. This is not quality. This is in expectation that someday you may come to quality. That requires time. That requires sincerity. But quality is there. Shravanada, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye. It will be awakened, not by force. Just like love between two persons, it cannot be forced. You must love him. You must love her. Oh, that is not love. That is not love. When automatically you love one another, that is quality. Doro Veda Prema. And therefore, formally, at least in Indian society, though he describes the culture where a young boy and girl, still very immature, you know, 5, 6 years old, 8 years old, they're married. What does that mean? They're married. It means they know when I grow up, this will be my husband, this will be my wife. And the arrangement would be on their birthday, the girl would bring the boy something, something she prepared, baked, and cooked or something, and he thinks, oh, this is very nice. On my birthday, something, oh, and it tastes very nice. She's a very nice girl. And he does something, and so they develop some attachment, some appreciation, some mood of service for one another. So that they know this is my husband, this, whatever they, the understanding of what that means is not so clear. So when the mature stage is there, then this is my husband, this is my wife. So there isn't this craziness that goes on sometimes. So Prabhupada is likening our stage of chanting to be like that, where it's not the mature stage of what chanting is. It's like the little boy, little girl. As the seed of it grows, then the real liking for the holy name can come. So now it's Vidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We do our regulative practice. So that the morning discussion is both by quantitative striving to quantitatively increase. Tomorrow we'll be entering an effort starting from early in the morning to increase our chanting. And one of the ways to help increase chanting is to focus on quality, with the idea that quantity will also help increase quality. So I wanted to cover some recommendations directly given by our Acharya, Sri Sanatan Goswami, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, on how to improve chanting. So for those of you that may not know who Sanatana Goswami is and what Hari Bhakti Vilas is. Sanatana Goswami is one of his pictures on the altar upstairs. He's that important. He's amongst the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the chief amongst the six Goswamis, who are the chief amongst all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in carrying out his mission. Now certainly there were practically unlimited numbers of pure devotees of the Lord, so it's not to minimize others who are also pure devotees of the Lord, but rather Sanatan and Rupa Goswami were specifically empowered to propagate, to further the teaching and the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they did so by his empowerment. And Sanatana Goswami is accepted as our chief amongst the six Goswamis. And he produced two very wonderful literatures, primary literatures and others as well. One, the BBT has translated already, that's Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is a fascinating, spellbinding, very amazing commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Very unique, very elevated literature. And a second literature that he published or put together is Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's a how-to manual for practicing Krishna consciousness. It's a description taken from notes of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, but he compiled it and put it together in a systematic way of how we practice Krishna consciousness. So here's the package. It's called Krishna Consciousness. You open up the package, and inside the package there's an operation manual. How to use this package. That's Hari Bhakti Vilas. That's the operation manual. How to use this thing. How to apply this thing to our life. How to get the maximum out of this Krishna consciousness, devotional service. It discusses all types of, we use this word, rituals, of things that we do on a regular basis. You know, how to perform arati, how to worship the deity, how to observe Janmashtami, how to observe all the Vaishnava holidays, the process of initiation, the qualities and duties of a spiritual master and disciple, the different mantras and sangskaras and how to perform the sangskaras. It's, you know, A to Z. It's a cornucopia of how to do things and gives an explanation behind them. So naturally, there's a how to chant Hare Krishna, since that's so essential to a life of Krishna consciousness. So, I hope you'll be very attentive to hear what Sanatan Goswami wants to share with us on just six in number, too. It's not like an exhaustive list. There's many, many things that one could say, and these are highlight things that are very important. It comes from Hari Bhakti Vilas, the 17th Vilas, number 129. He writes, in order to perfect one's chanting of japa, one needs to cultivate the following qualities. So we'll go through them one by one. Oh, he would put this one first. Control of the mind. Okay. What's next? Mana samharana. So this is, it's not different than Krishna's advice in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, from wherever and whatever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should do what? Bring it back under the control of the self. So this, his explanation of mana samharana, is repeatedly bringing the mind back when it wanders into the world of sense objects. So one of the tricks, not tricks, but you know, one of the positive ways of doing this is, like Raghunath Das Goswami in his Mana Shiksha, is telling the mind what to do. Tell the mind, instruct the intelligence. It's the intelligence given by Krishna. This is Krishna instructing the mind. Go to the holy name. And there's the do not. That means don't go to other things. Go to the holy name. Remember from the discussion yesterday, these four Gopurams. So that the the mouth is making the sound, Hare Krishna mantra. And then there's the mind. So directing the mind to the holy name and withdrawing the mind when it does its chanchala program and goes to other things. However many times it goes, one brings the mind back and brings the mind back and brings the mind back. And it's a mental discipline. As with any system of yoga, there's mental discipline. I'll just connect a little personal experience with Prahladananda Maharaj that I had, exchange I had with him. Prahladananda Maharaj is our minister of health and welfare, as well as our sannyas minister. So one of the things that he does for health is he checks out different medical alternatives that exist in the world, and he gets reports from devotees and he goes and checks them out. And he, you know, yoga for health. There's some persons that just, it's just publicity. Some persons that are very effective in using yoga for health. So, it's become a bit of a trendy thing in the world, and that devotees have picked up on the wave of becoming yoga instructors to help make a bridge to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So he said he was in New York, he had just passed through the UK, and there's this whole bunch of devotees going out and learning how to be yoga instructors to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So he gave a seminar to them, he shared with me, and heard what they were doing, and then showed them, here's the real fundamentals of yoga. So he said, you want to go through this thing, I'll show you. So we stood up and we went, you know, 5, 6, 7 different things, and I said, you know, this is just mind. He said, yeah, that's the idea. It's to do yoga effectively, that was the message, in fact, that to do yoga effectively, there's certain things, muscular things and da-da-da-da-da things and stretching things. But really, it's the mind. Because you can't do those things without, you don't get the full effect without the mind being properly focused. And then you go the next step that says, is it just the mind over matter, or is the mind supposed to deliver us to a higher position, to a spiritual position? And so when we're doing, people sometimes ask us, in your process, do you have some method of meditation? Most certainly. Mantra meditation. And fixing the mind on the holy name. So, it's the positive and the negative. The injunction and the prohibition. The sankalpa and the vikalpa. Accepting and rejecting is the function of the mind. You direct the mind to take shelter of the holy name, and you withdraw the mind from anything else. You fail to perform that discipline according to Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can chant for millions of births and not get the full effect of chanting. So, inattentiveness is a starting point. Be attentive, and when the mind wanders, bring the mind back. So we'll have some opportunity together today and in our 32-round day tomorrow to practice this one. Mana Samharana. Control of the mind. Next, we discussed this a little bit yesterday morning, but here it is from Rupa Goswami, from Sanatana Goswami, is Shaucham. It means cleanliness or purity. This refers to both external and internal cleanliness. When Prabhupada describes the process of how a person should go through their life in their home in a devotional way is same as found in Hari Bhakti Vilas. You rise early in the morning before the sun comes up. And you pay obeisances to the spiritual master and call the name of your deity. And so you're immediately, the first thing is the thought of where your shelter is. Then you go make the body clean. And then you put on clean cloth. And then you go to the place where the deity is. And you make some sound to enter the place where the deity is. You acknowledge your presence in their place. And then you make the place clean, where the altar is, and then you, and while doing so, reciting standard prayers. And then you sit and you perform your chanting of your mantra for internal cleanliness. External cleanliness, internal cleanliness. And so, shaucham. There's detail to all of this, and this is just like an upper level or 101 introduction. Because, for example, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, there's one very amazing purport in the Gundicha Marjana section, where the grains of sand and dust and particles of straw are removed from Gundicha, and each of them, they're cleansed twice. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is quoted as describing what they represent, these grains of sand, and particles of dust, and pieces of straw. They're the contaminations of heart of different categories, and they're to be removed as part of this shocham idea. Cleanliness is taking out from the heart. Something that Prabhupada taught is, in the matter of external cleanliness, as we're doing external cleanliness for Krishna, it's making the heart clean. When you cleansing the temple, mandira marjana, when you're cleansing the temple, it's cleansing the heart. When you're cleaning Krishna's kitchen, it's cleaning the heart. Our ISKCON cooks get lots of opportunity every Monday for Dana Kali is during the college season is heart cleansing. Exhausting. Physically exhausting. But it's when done in the right mood, it's part of our sadhana that brings the opportunity for purified chanting, more effective chanting. If we're in the right consciousness, if we're not in the right consciousness, then it's business as usual or worse. So, shaucham. Then next is something that we'll observe tomorrow morning, and it happens at our japa retreats, is mona. Mona literally means silence. Prabhupada has taught us that real silence means speaking only about Krishna, not the material sense of silence. So Sanatana Goswami describes in Hari Bhakti Vilas, this is now not just for tomorrow but the expanse of our lifetime. Mona means strictly avoiding unfavorable speaking or prajalpa or just, you know, blah blah blah, just avoiding that unnecessary speaking or unfavorable speaking, something that, you know, anger inspires or something, some dirt within the heart. Don't vacho vegam. Don't yield to that urge. So then the way to correct that is you speak about Krishna. Speak about Krishna pleasing you. But it also refers to while performing chanting, maintaining silence. Let's say we're not tomorrow morning, we'll do it formally. Tomorrow we'll have a rule. You come here for the 32 round day, and the rule is silence other than chanting up until the time that we've completed our 32 rounds. Last year it was around 11:30, 12 o'clock, something like that. We'll see how it's going. But in your general practice, when you're chanting, try to observe this principle that it's just chanting. It's just chanting. Need not be fanatic, but when it's time for chanting, it's chanting. When it's time for practical things, it's practical things. When it's time for work, it's work. When it's time for Bhagavatam classes, so you're focused, especially when chanting. Silence, otherwise. You know the Hare Krishna, blah, blah, Hare Krishna, blah, 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 Hare Krishna, blah, blah. How's it going, people? Hare Krishna, blah, blah, blah. It's not focused. It's here as in Hari Bhakti Vilas as Mona, it's in Nectar of Instruction by Bacho Vegam. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's teachings, not speaking Gramya Katha in Bhagavatam. It's a pervasive principle. If we're serious about reaching the goal of life, and we're not really anxious to take birth again as Kali Yuga continues to degrade and degrade and degrade and degrade and have to go through the whole thing all over again. And we're not for serious to not go through that and actually want to return to Krishna. That's the opportunity being afforded to us. Then these principles become very important, how we apply ourselves to quality chanting. Then another very interesting one is mantra-rata chintanam. Mantra-rata chintanam means contemplating the meaning of one's mantra. Now this is especially relevant to Gayatri. And in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, it's not just Brahma Gayatri, but several Gayatris. And one shouldn't just go through the syllables, but one should meditate on the meaning. And we just touched on this a little bit yesterday, even with the Maha Mantra, there's meaning. Prabhupada has given us the very simple meaning. All energy of the Lord. He's engaging the service of the Supreme Father, Krishna. So it's a prayer for service. It's a prayer to the internal potency of the Lord to engage us in service. It's it's invoking the mood of service that's dormant because our current mood is, or the conditioned mood is, trying to be the enjoyer. Instead, it's trying to be the servant. Trying to enter deeply into the mood of being the servant. Chandramali Maharaj discussed this very nicely yesterday about the mood of service as the key of how we should increase faith by associating with devotees in the mood of service. Very, very beautiful response to that question. So that's the meaning, and the meaning then has with it some mood. And we discussed yesterday also the because Krishna, Krishna means all attractive. So the meaning of the mantra is to become attracted to the all attractive. Seems that should be pretty easy. But that our mind become attracted to Krishna in the mood of serving him by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. He's the supreme pure, and all these very nice glorifications of the holy name. I'll ask Padahari to sing our last year's theme song again, and I think we'll get some deeper appreciation of chanting the holy name. So it's a meditation upon the meaning, but it's a meditation upon the object, meditation upon Krishna in the form of the holy name. So in other words, it's being present with the holy name. And what is this holy name mean for us? What's the meaning? It's the most merciful. We heard this description yesterday. The holy name of Krishna, although non different from Krishna, is more merciful than Krishna. Because he's so accessible. Krishna makes himself so accessible through his holy name. And these are some of the ways that mantrata chintanam, meditating on the meaning of one's mantra. So that's four down and two to go. Patience. So we're striving to do these things, and because we're conditioned souls, we have lapses, or maybe the other way around. Every now and then we have some sense of presence to strive for these things, and the rest of the time it's space out time. Mechanical, blah, 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 robotic time, and not having any feeling, just doing because, you know, we understand it's good for us. So patience is to strive for something of great value, and listening to just this morning to Prabhupada describing the difference between prayas and shreyas, and stay on the shreyas platform. And if it doesn't come, we should be very patient while remaining enthusiastic. Don't move from that standard. Keep the standard. Keep striving as you're chanting the holy name. Keep striving. Striving and calling and being patient for Krishna to come. For Krishna to show his kindness. One of the rules of Krishna consciousness is that when you surrender to Krishna, you need to learn that surrender to Krishna is on Krishna's terms. And when you surrender to Krishna, it's not on your terms. Krishna, I'll surrender to you as long as X, Y, and Z. If X, Y, and Z isn't forthcoming, I might check out. But surrender means on Krishna's terms. So if things start flowing in a way that isn't how we had envisioned it, shouldn't diminish our surrender. Surrender means surrender. When Prabhupada came to America, if he was moved by the tide of the lack of things happening, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have a Hare Krishna movement around the world. But because Prabhupada was very determined and patient for Krishna to show the fruit of his sincere service. So our chanting, our practice of devotional service in general, but particularly in this case, one should be patient, and specifically he comments, Sanatana Goswami comments, that in completing of your prescribed chanting, don't be in a rush to hurry up and complete your prescribed chanting so you can get the other things done, because that's really what's important, is getting the other things done. Getting other things done in Krishna service is also important. And when chanting, be present for the whole duration of time when you're chanting. And when you chant in that mood, just like the Nama Yajna last night, it was hard to end it. One more time. And we got back to it again after. So, it's that's what quality is. If it doesn't come right away, be patient and continue to stay with the process of chanting. And when there's increased numerical chanting, that's one of the qualities that it helps one build, is patience to get that experience of Krishna's reciprocation. Anybody want to guess what number six is? He's covered a lot. It's anirveda, or steadfastness. This is the hope. One should not, like Rupa Goswami's statement, hope against hope. There's a quality of trusting Krishna, like the song that Padahari sang yesterday, that the price of the goods of Lord Nityananda was his faith. And faith or trust, I trust in Krishna. And over on this side is me, and there's no qualification. And I don't even have sufficiently strong desire. I'm very weak. We were hearing these expressions yesterday. Persons expressing like that. But there's a hope, and the hope is that Krishna is merciful. And the agents of Krishna are very merciful. And they'll be kind. And so, it's not disempowering, it's empowering because of hope. because there's hope, I remain steadfast. Patience is a little different. Patience is the delivery will come in the course of time. But I have what sustains it and supports that patience is steadfastness. I have trust and hope and faith in Krishna, the process of devotional service. So even if I'm in this valley period, I'm down, we'll experience that in the course of extending chanting, especially when you extend it even more. But in the course of 32 rounds, there'll be periods of time when it seems to be going really nicely, and we think, wow, this is going really nicely. So we're less making that hopeful effort, and then suddenly something happens. Or maybe it's the other way around. It starts off, it's just a struggle, having some expectation to have a nice experience, and it's just a struggle, and it stays a struggle, and it's a struggle, and it's a struggle. I've shared this before, but I still remember Mother Rasanga describing what her experience was at the Ojai retreat. On the 64 round day was, 16 rounds was a struggle, and the next 16 rounds was a struggle, the next 16 rounds was a struggle. And her thoughts she shared with us were, her mind was flashing over all the horrible things that she's done to hurt people and mistakes that she's made, and just feeling bad and down, and she was crying while chanting. It was a very heavy mood. She could understand it was purification, but even it was purification, it was a struggle, it was hard. And at a certain point, she literally cried and just called out to Krishna. And it wasn't just it was not a struggle anymore, it was just completely depending upon Krishna. And it wasn't even that right after that, all of a sudden everything went flying up in the air. It stayed like that for some time. And then, very gently, Krishna picked her up and reciprocated with her sincere calling, and she said, I experienced chanting like I've never experienced in my life before, in however many years of chanting she's been chanting, 35 years or something like that. So sometimes it can be like that. So the steadfastness is to never give up hope, but to trust in the process. Each of us expressed why we had come to take part in this. It was to go more deeply into the holy name. Or my expression was to establish more deeply my relationship with the holy name, because Krishna is not different than his holy name. We have a relationship with Krishna. So when doing that, as with any experience of life, there may be some really difficult times in a relationship or in life or in the world. And what's our shelter? Our shelter is eternal. That there's this saying, hope springs eternal. And hope against hope is Rupa Goswami's, like one step removed. I have no qualification. I'm shameless. I'm sinful. I'm wicked. I'm vile. I have no qualification, but I'm shameless. I'm pleading with Krishna. And I know that he's very merciful because I'm pleading with him. Even though I'm unqualified, he'll be very kind. Well, they don't know how it's going to happen, other than I have hope. And this is, it's a quality that helps bring bhava, or ecstasy. So we're not at such an elevated stage to experience bhava bhakti. But it's that steadfastness practice at our present stage that helps qualify us to experience these deepening of spiritual emotion. This fully dependent upon Krishna, emotion. And the connection with Krishna in that state, like with Rasa Gyas states, it was very clear to her. It wasn't anything from her side. It was just Krishna very gently picked her up and lifted her. And imagine what that experience was after having gone through what she went through. Very, very comforting. So, these are some... He indicates techniques, or more than techniques, they're qualities. That if we come to the holy name with our palms folded and a sincere desire to establish more deeply our relationship with holy name, enter into the merciful nature of the holy name, then this will enhance us, enhance that practice. So I'll just go through them one more time. Control of the mind. Purity of body and thought and action. Silence. Meditation upon, or contemplation upon, the meaning of the mantra that we're chanting. Patience and steadfastness in our practice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this last one, the steadfastness. There's a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur commenting on this steadfastness, where he writes, while chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. Concentrate the mind on the chanting alone. Be pure in mind and avoid speaking uselessly. Contemplate the mantra's meaning and remain patient. He's commenting on these six items from Hari Bhakti Vilas. So, end with that and see if there's any discussion, comments, Arvind?
By descending mercy and experiencing some feelings of gratitude for this opportunity to come here and chant with you, whether it is in Chandraman Swami or all the Vaishnavas, at the same time feeling like.
I was waiting for the but.
Can I repay or how to receive the fullness of this mercy?
Just first a comment on your the prelude to your question. Several devotees just voluntarily or spontaneously came up and expressed how much excitement they feel in the air. And frankly, one of the scheduling logistics is to focus today on preparing for tomorrow. So you know, the anticipation of 32 rounds is not like something enormous, but it's the anticipation is enormous. And so the idea is to expand the enormousness of it. I'm in my comment is embedded an answer. Or like Badahari was sharing with me yesterday, we were talking about the Nama Yoga and how to orchestrate it. He had, you know, day before yesterday, it wasn't a clear idea, but in the course of being with the devotees, it seemed to me some anticipation of how he wanted to do it was growing. And the anticipation was get everybody together. Let's just have one melody and we'll just dive into that melody. You know, he was excited, and part of it was you know the getting a sense of the devotees and you know the other 24-hour kirtan that he had been part of and some other things. So it's being sensitive to the inspirations of others, coming into the situation with an open heart, so that as your wife was asking yesterday, receive, get your heart bucket open and then there are, just like we're hearing Sanatana Goswami's instructions. So we're an assembly of neophytes, and Sanatana Goswami is an Uttama Adhikari, perfected soul, and he's pouring into us. So there's instructions. So hear the instructions with the mood of wanting to take that which Sanatana Goswami wants to give us, and it means you know you do something with it, not just think, oh, that's nice, I've got some notes now, but act on them, and then receive that mercy that Sanatana Goswami wants to give, and we're you know our business is to come together and share those things, the nice songs of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and embedded within them some wonderful jewels. So becoming Brahmana instead of Kripana or miserly, just you know, receive something and being prepared to take those things that we've received and act upon them and share them and distribute them. We won't be able to distribute them unless we receive them. and the more deeply we've received them, the more we'll experience them, the more we'll be able to distribute them. But, you know, you're going to go back to your place of preaching, and you're going to have people that you're trying to help in Krishna consciousness. So you want to share this with them. And the form of it may be different, but it's what you've received here. That's what you're going to be able to share. So you're just carrying that mercy, receiving, giving. And Prabhupada said that's Krishna consciousness. Give and take, love and trust. That's Krishna consciousness. Let's just cultivate those very simple principles through the Sangha, through Vaishnava Sangha. The potency is there, the excitement is there, the anticipation is there, and it's growing. I have some more time with Badahari's chanting and Chandramali Swami speaking, and it's going to grow. And then 32 rounds tomorrow, and it'll grow more. Watch, you'll feel it. So then receive it, so that you can then act on it and distribute it to others. Yeah, Aaron?
On the principle of shocha, the internal cleanliness, that's the more difficult one to maintain. Excuse me. And in the sense specifically, I was thinking that we come in contact with so many things purposely or inadvertently that make impressions on the mind that come back to haunt us when we're chanting. So I've heard something about how to kind of combat all of the negative inputs that we have throughout our life to kind of see, not to, you know, take them in submissively, but to reject them, you know, in a philosophical or, you know, just because we understand that they're not valuable. But what's, I mean, it seems like they're pretty prominent for a lot of us. So what's the proper way to process that so that it doesn't really make an impression on our consciousness?
That's a major topic. I'll just give a short answer to a major topic, but two bullet points. One is, I gave this answer the other day. Vaisheshika Prabhu has this phrase that says, where attention goes, energy flows. It's very easy to remember that one. So, if you give attention to those thoughts, it's like giving them life. Conversely, don't give them attention. And they're lifeless. Now the remedy that you described of, you know, getting rid of them, part of the thing of getting rid of them is, you know, pay attention to them. So part of getting rid of them is just neglect them. And instead, place your attention on something transcendental. Like in the Ajamila story, in the very beginning, he saw a scene that agitated his mind. So he did his brahminical things. He chanted his, you know, did his pujas and did his mantras and read his slokas, and his mind was still dwelling. But give the mind positive engagement. In our transcendental way of devotional service. Don't give, so nasate vidyate bhava. Another way of saying the same thing is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. a transcendentalist, it's knowledge, so knowledge alone is not enough, but knowledge says, it says sat. It has nothing to do with me. Like some of those quotes that I read yesterday when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, you know, the time has come in my life where I recognize all of this which I've been involved with is useless. It's not just some part of it is useless. And that's haunting me. All of it is useless without Krishna. And some parts of it are more gross than other parts of it. But it's all without Krishna. It's all useless. It's all dragging me away from the goal of life. So, one bullet point is, don't invest attention, don't invest consciousness in asat, but rather invest consciousness in sat. Or, in practically the first instruction that Krishna gives to Arjuna, tangsta tiksha sabharata, there's duality. Matra sparsha stupante asatoshna. So, there's duality. What do? You tolerate it. So that's what you know, you don't invest consciousness in it. You withdraw consciousness from it. But then you have to put your consciousness in something else. Put consciousness in sat. Or practice putting consciousness in sat. And your the item out of the six was Shocham, but there's mind control. Manaksam harana. But where do you direct the mind? It's directed to something positive and withdraw it from something negative. Another bullet point, second bullet point, is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction. He says there are two ways to control the mind. Like an animal. Starvation or with a stick? So the one that I offered is the starvation one. You just don't pay attention to it. There's some feeling of regret. Oh, how unfortunate, I've wasted my life with. And then you move on. Immediately you move on. You don't dwell and say, you know, lament. Oh. You're giving energy to it. You're giving attention to it, and therefore you're giving energy to it, and therefore it continues to have life, although it's lifeless. It's a dead material energy called the mind. It's a thought within the mind. It's not you. The other is a stick. So his example is, you have a wild animal, a lion. Capture the lion, you starve the lion. He becomes weak and weak and weak and weak. Then you give him a little food. But only a little food. Enough that he doesn't die. And then more time, more starvation, and a little food, and a little food, and a little food. Then you can put your hand, you know, he'll just take the food and not your hand. So that's how they do the circus training. Because, you know, they take care of, they become like a domesticated animal. Bhakti Vinod Thakur gives a similar example, like a horse. How do you control a horse? You know, this is the stick one. You have tight reins. And then you give verbal signals that say, you know, go left, and you pull left. And after some time, go left, go right, stop, you know, whoa, or whatever the sounds are, that says go and stop and left and right. Then you don't even need the reins. You just say go and stop and left and right, because it's now trained. This big, powerful horse or oxen or something. So just by signal, similarly, the mind can become controlled if there's proper practice and discipline. You know, so what the mind, you don't let the mind go to, just by practice and discipline. It's not going to happen casually. One has to be diligent.
Padhar, you had something?
I just appreciated what you said, and I just want to amplify it a little bit.
Okay.
You were talking about how do we increase our receptiveness, and part of your answer was thinking about giving it. So it's we're not just being receptive for ourselves, but it's in the mood of service.
Mm.
We want to receive so that we have something to give. I was just appreciating that point.
And I think we're doing how Vaishnav Sangha works is just like you're coming here. We've invited you, or I've invited you, or we're hosting you to come because you have something wonderful to give. But I'm sure from your side, it's the enthusiasm of the devotees to hear and chant is inspiring you.
Yeah. You don't get this every day.
And then that inspires you to go back to your home and, enlightened, and then think how to prepare something for the next time. And it just feeds the enthusiasm of approaching the holy name in a mood of service and serving the devotees. And that's how loving relationships help us grow in Krishna consciousness. It's not just receiving, it's giving, give and take, love and trust.
Something else? Yes, Jagatananda.
Your comment first, and then a couple of questions. So as you were describing from the experience of the Nam Yajna yesterday evening and even yesterday afternoon, I'm feeling myself was one more time, let it sort of go on, whatever. So how can we take that feeling into our japa? That's one question. And
we're trying to do it right now.
And the second one is my understanding is that the true, I get from the Prabhupada's conversation, the true barometers of our quality of chanting is japa. Is that correct, or does that attraction that we may have for kirtan, does it have any value? Or
absolutely. One feeds the other. That's part of the answer. That's why the orchestration of the schedule is including kirtan and the Namadyagya to proceed for preparation for the 32 round day to do the 32 round day. So one feeds the other. And another, going back to the first, as it was inspirational, how do we apply that same inspiration in chanting japa? Chanting japa together. When we do this, we'll be chanting japa together. It's not that you're going to be staying in your home chanting 32 rounds and you come when it's time for class. You're going to come for the chanting of japa together, and it's enriching. Or just as we were speaking with Jayant and how it's going to be difficult having to chant japa alone. And, he has a new job situation and it's not going to be with the devotees. So it's going to be more of a challenge. So here we are, coming together. And so when there are opportunities to come together and chant together, it amplifies. We have our Gita Nagari retreats. It's real nice. Everybody chanting. It's like the temple room is taking off into a space. Or when organizing the temple program in Chicago, for example, the devotees chanting together. It's very nice. You know, you could try to make it like Prabhupada describing a rule. But when there's taste, it's something you want to do. There's some, certainly some merit in solitude, but there's certainly some merit in chanting together. The main thing is the eagerness, the anticipation of encounter with Krishna, meeting Krishna, being present with Krishna. If we can understand that's what's being afforded to us, eagerness is there. It's very exciting. And what holds us back is our mind is attached to so many other things. Too many other things. Many. So this is just not connecting with some of the discussion yesterday, to Krishnaize some of those things. So it makes it that, you know, and the focus is the real, the heart, the heartbeat is our chanting of the holy name, and especially the chanting of japa as our daily practice, you know, that we must do every day. So we can't, our heart can't stop beating. It's the life of our spiritual life, our relationship with the holy name. Now back again to kirtan. Enhances japa, and japa enhances kirtan. One enhances the other. Chaitanya?
Thank you, Maharaj. You answered actually part of my question, so it makes me take a little different. My question was my original question was, many times to practice these 6 points, you require a proper atmosphere of devotee association. So what to do in that atmosphere is clear, and you're just giving an answer to that.
Okay.
So my second, then a problem comes that sustain inspiration.
Did which?
Sustain inspiration.
Okay.
When you talk about culture, if you're not even sure what comes in like this, we'll be inspired for about a week maximum and then back to life. And it's hard to keep the sustained inspiration. So how do we,
this is a classic. It's a classic question. Several things. There's no substitute for spiritual advancement. You add some other ingredient and stir and you get no inspiration. There's no substitute for spiritual advancement. It's something that purity is something that we have to pay the price for. And that's our eagerness. Another answer is the gratitude answer. And with gratitude comes service to others. So we carry forward with whatever capacity Krishna has given us to give that which we have received. One of the things that, even in ordinary education, you know, not to do with spiritual topics, but in ordinary education, one of the things that is taught is a fact. One of the ways to help retain something, some inspiration that one has received from a seminar or a class or a course or something like that, is to share it with others. And even more is to like be that which inspires you in your dealings with others. So certainly that applies in spiritual life. So when it's the Acharya principle, in short, you become an instrument of the previous Acharyas, and thereby you become an Acharya. You become that inspiration. Like what Chandramali Swami was saying yesterday, when the instruction is carried out, that act of carrying out the instruction is not different than the instruction. The inspiration that comes, you live that as a service. Not like for the receiving, but as a service to the person from whom you heard or received that inspiration, and to the previous acharyas from whom that person has received that inspiration for in their life, and to everybody else, you're, you know, the servant of the servant. And then that's the incubation chamber for the inspiration. But we're, now back to the first one, there's no substitute for purity. We'll let our hearts become pure, and then that inspiration will continue to radiate and glow. We have 5 minutes before. Can somebody that's by the door here just let the kitchen team know at 9 o'clock we're going to head for wherever the breakfast is, so they should have it ready. Anything on this side? Yes?
When I was trying to understand this point that Prabhupada was speaking about, how quality doesn't come by force, versus striving or trying to control the mind and consciousness to pause in different
channels. Before you go further, I'm stuck on something that you said that's a misquote from what Prabhupada said. At least the way that I understood it, he's saying that quality is not the same as force. So, vidhi sadhana bhakti, or vidhi sadhana bhakti, leads to bhava bhakti, leads to prema bhakti. Because in vidhi sadhana bhakti, there's submission. And submission to the source of inspiration. And through that, it's the submission to that source of inspiration that leads to feelings, transcendental feelings, and further purification. It does lead to, it's not the same as. Force is not the same as quality, in the sense of having real taste. A different, but it's a different stage of the same thing. The seed is preliminary faith, and the mature stage is prema. So, I'm sorry, that's not the essence of your question, but I got stuck on something you said, and it was hard for me to listen to the rest of it. Might be, but it doesn't have to be. How to say this properly? Our present condition has selfishness, impure desire. We don't even know what's good for us. You know, something that feels good, maybe something that's not good for us. You know, we're covered. So the safe position is not hankering for an experience, but hankering for being present with Krishna, being in a relationship with Krishna, and trusting Krishna. He'll adjust everything. So even if our experience is like this, Rasagya was describing her experience. It doesn't break one's trust in Krishna. It was a very intense purification for her to go through that experience, but it didn't at all impede or hamper her trust in Krishna. It caused her it was impetus for her to take more shelter of Krishna. And then, so it's the relationship with Krishna, not a feeling or an experience. So we're going to have other kirtans, and our kirtan experience today is not going to be the same as our kirtan experience yesterday. So we're just like, I want that experience that it was last night. It was so nice. That's not how it works. It's be with Krishna. And the mood of wanting to please and serve Krishna, glorify Krishna, whatever that experience is, however it manifests itself. There's variety. Okay, last one.
This is something that I've been, I think, troubled for many parts of the world. The thing is, we hear so many instructions and techniques to improve our chanting and Krishna consciousness and so on. So what I find is that I'm doing many things, some things naturally and some things out of what I've heard. And then when I hear the same message again and again and again, and there is pride in the heart. I'm thinking, oh, you know what, I think I'm already doing this. It's either that, or I'm afraid that I'm losing the regard for the message.
Afraid that you're losing the...
regard for the message.
Regard for the message.
Like, I'm unsure if... I haven't gone... I don't know where that is coming from, but there is something that's troubling me.
Did you... I know that you drove all night long on Thursday and arrived Friday bright and early. Were you there attentive yesterday morning about chanting from the heart? About 50% or 30%? 20%? Go back and listen to that one. Because the answer is beyond the technique, which is how to, you know, bring the mind to Krishna and all the other things, you know, the focus, the techniques of quality chanting, is connect those to the heart, and both in the receiving and giving end, or reaching for Krishna and receiving. So it's the activator is the heart. Then it won't be what you're concerned about. So how to call Krishna from the heart. So listen to that, because that's what that topic was. And then the technique is literally that. It's a technique to help that to reach, to act from the heart, to chant, to call Krishna's name from the heart. Then the technique is secondary. It's not an essence. I'll just share this really briefly. For about 6 months, I got into this practice. It was an inspiration that turned into a practice. It came like a sadhana. Like the inspiration was, what animates the body is the soul. So when we're chanting, while we're, you know, the mind is doing something and the body is doing something, it's animated from the present by the presence of the soul, and the soul is in the heart. So I was literally concentrating on chanting. The mind was cooperating, kind of, and the body was cooperating, kind of, on the inspiration of the soul, calling Krishna's name. It's calling Krishna's name from the soul, from the heart. It's chanting from the heart. And then that meditation just reconfigured everything. You know, what was going on in the room and what was going on outside the room and just, you know, how I was seeing things. From the heart. So the relationship with Krishna is its relationships are from the heart. But then the technique is secondary. It's not unimportant, but it's secondary. And you can, as Buddha Hari was saying yesterday, you can then connect the technique to the real feelings of the heart. So if there's some, flip it around the other way, if there's some lack of regard for the instruction, then go to the heart level. You know, what's going on over here? And the relationships with Prabhupada and Krishna and spiritual master and the scripture and why am I doing this? It's from the heart. Connect again. Okay? Rather than where attention goes, energy flows. If it just goes to the instruction, then you may lose the sense of relationship, which is really the essence anyways. The technique is not the essence. The relationship's at the relationship with Krishna is the essence. That help?
Can you just clarify the last sentence? Like you said, that if the attention goes to the instruction,
if your attention goes to the instruction, it may go away from the relationship.
Yeah.
And the essence is the relationship.
I don't understand. Like how
you have a husband, right? You have a relationship with your husband. The essence of your relationship is not, you know, can you put a little more salt in the khichdi? The essence of the relationship is the relationship. And because of the relationship, without having to ask, you know how much salt to put in the khichdi. And if he says it's not, you know, the essence is not, there wasn't enough salt in the relationships, you know, or in the khichdi, so the relationship is gone.
Could happen.
When the relationship is right, it can't happen. We'll speak later on this. Okay? Okay. Thank you very much.